Hello, and welcome to the East Anglian Theatre Podcast. Welcome back, my invisible friends. Are you geared up for another thrilling episode of the podcast? I hope so, because you're in for a hell of a ride. That's it, Ray. Start with a lie. That'll get them on side. Sorry about that, everyone. Apologies for the interruption from my inner monologue. Let's do a proper introduction with handshakes and everything. Hello, everyone. My name's Ray Tempesta, and I am the douchebag that came up with the idea of this podcast. Now, the way the podcast works is pretty simple, rather like your host here. It's split into three parts. Section one is where I tell you a bit about what I've been up to in the world of theatre. Once you switch the sound back on, you'll come across section two, which is, after all, what you're here for, the interview. Once I'm done irritating my guests, we move on to the home straight, where I tell you about some upcoming shows and the occasional audition opportunity going on in our region. That's all coming up, of course, but first let me bore you with a bit of pointless patter about my social media presence. The East Anglian Theatre Podcast has a Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and TikTok accounts. They're not great, but they're a means to an end in order to promote the podcast. And if you want to give me a bit of help in promoting it, why not give the pages a like, a follow, a share or whatever. You can also visit my website, eatpod.co.uk. That's eatpod.co.uk. Here you'll find all episodes of the podcast, plus the reviews I produce from time to time, and a page to contact me if you want to profess your love for me. Or you can request a spot on the podcast, your choice. But enough of that, let's move on to section one. And in the absence of friends, family or loved ones to ask me the question, I'm just being dramatic, they wouldn't even fit in my studio anyway. I asked myself, Ray, what have you been up to in the world of theatre lately? Well, I interviewed Echo Youth Theatre on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I went on opening night of their production of Little Shop of Horrors to see the product of their work in full. So, what did I think? Well, you can read the full review on my website, eatpod.co.uk, but to give you a brief précis, it was a production that would be more than a match for any high-quality adult company. The group was brimming with talent, and under the expert guidance of Chris Davidson, my expectations in terms of their vocal ability were placed quite high already. But actually, it was their acting ability too that really raised the bar in terms of the performance. Now, I mean it without a hint of condescension when I say it was a really mature professional performance. It's obviously too late to see Little Shop of Horrors now, but this company is definitely worth keeping an eye out for, especially their upcoming production of School of Rock in June. I also went to see Insert Laughter Here, who I interviewed on the podcast a couple of months back, as they opened their 2023 plans in earnest with an improv comedy gig at the Fisher Theatre in Bungie. Now, I haven't as yet produced a review of that. I might well do at some stage, but in brief, it was a joyous occasion, which I guess you'd hope from a comedy show. Some of the games work better than others, but they acknowledge that they are still a fledgling company and are more than willing to listen to feedback. There was four main performers in the show, with company director Aaron Waite mostly sticking to the role of host throughout, which was actually a bit of a shame because I felt he was very, very good when he did get involved. Not all of the gags landed, which of course is the nature of the game, but one of the performers, Nick P, was consistently funny throughout and just seemed at home in this setting. Now, if you want to catch Insert Laughter Here in action again, they've got another show coming up on the 13th of May at the Hunter Club in Bury St Edmunds. Check out their website, insertlaughterhere.co.uk, or their social media accounts for details. But enough about what I've been up to, what about you? Do let me know if there's anything you've seen lately that's left an impression or if you've got a show that you think I should check out. Okay, well, let's move on to the main event, and that's the interview, and this time I'd like to introduce you to two members of a long-standing Suffolk company about to hit the stage at the Theatre Royal Bury St Edmunds with their latest production. Their names are Sarah and Adam, and they're gearing up for Bury St Edmunds Operatic and Dramatic Society, or BSODS for short, for BSODS production of Shakespeare in Love, which opens in a matter of days. So, without further ado, let's have a chat with them, shall we? Hello there, BSODS. Now, before we get onto the subject of the production that you're here to promote, can you give us a flavour of what your company is all about?
So, yes, BSODS is Bury St Edmunds Operatic and Dramatic Society. The society has been going for 120 years. The society was actually founded in 1902, but our very first production was in 1903. And in our 120th year, we've got two shows and a concert on. The first of those shows is Shakespeare in Love.
Fantastic. And I believe that our Saturday night performance is the actual 120th anniversary.
Quite significant then.
Yeah.
And also, for the benefit of the tape, could you briefly introduce yourselves as well and your role in production and the company?
I'm Adam Thurkettle. I'm the production manager for Shakespeare in Love, and I'm also the vice chairman of the Society.
And I'm Sarah Brody, and I've been a member of the Society for a few years now, and I'm the director of Shakespeare in Love.
Okay, well, let's delve into Shakespeare in Love now. And I'm very familiar with the Hollywood movie, and I'm frankly appalled that it's 24 years old, as I can remember its release quite clearly. But how does the stage version measure up? And this is coming from a place of no knowledge. I've not seen the stage adaptation.
Oh, see, I love the stage adaptation. I saw it in its original West End run twice, and I wasn't living anywhere near London at the time, so it was a case of take a really uncomfortable megabus journey to get there. It's everything that you love about the film, but with some added elements to it. Basically, the whole thing is just one great big love letter to theatre. You've got Mark Norman and Tom Stoppard, who wrote the film, and a lot of their original script translates to the stage as well. But Lee Hall did a fantastic adaptation that it brings out more of Marlowe's role, which actually is one of my favourite roles in the whole show now. It adds some real comedy, and it makes it a little bit less about the love story and a little bit more about theatre and about Shakespeare becoming Shakespeare, sort of more than you get in the film, because obviously sort of at the end he's sort of back on that pedestal and he's got over his writer's block, and you very much get that in the play, but it's more focused on that, which I quite like.
So was the prominence of the film a factor, and obviously the stage adaptation, was that a factor when it came to choosing a play for you guys to perform?
So I pitched quite a few shows to BSods when I said I wanted to direct for them. And Shakespeare in Love, I think, was probably the most left-field choice I could have come up with. The rest of the shows that I pitched were musicals, and I would have loved to have done any of them. But Shakespeare in Love was sort of, it was a bit different, because it's a play, but it's a play with songs. There's choreography in it as well. So it's got all those elements that you would love about a musical, but you don't necessarily have to be interested in singing and dancing to still want to be involved in the show, which was a big draw for me, because I thought, well, we've got some people within the society who really love to just act and some who love to be involved in the musical side of things. So I thought it would be a nice way of bringing those groups together, which is what we found in our cast. We've got a real mixture of people, and it's been lovely working with everyone in that kind of capacity. And as far as I was concerned, the material was just fantastic. But then it goes out to the society members for them to vote on. So they were sent all the pictures, and that was what we ended up with.
Yeah, I'm always quite fascinated, having been a part of various different groups myself, as to how they go about choosing the productions. And is this the first time you directed?
It's the first time I've directed for this society. I have directed before. I've been doing this since I was about 16 now.
Yeah.
So quite a while. But yeah, this is my directorial debut for BSods, which is nice and exciting.
Yeah. And now we're recording this 2.5 weeks before the show opens. At what stage are you at now with the rehearsal process? It must be sort of...
Yeah, we've had a couple of runs now, which has been really nice, because you can see the whole show come together. Mm. And I mean, the cast is fantastic. I can't shout about them enough. I said last night, we had a run through last night, and I said to them at the end before they all left, it's really amazing watching it through, because I've seen them do it umpteen times now and you'd think I'd be fed up of it, but they're coming up with all kinds of little things now. They put their books down, they know their lines, that I can sit there and go, oh God, that's really funny. And it's wonderful to watch.
It's great as an actor that your director can still find things funny at this late stage.
Yeah, I burst out into laughter a couple of times last night in areas that I wasn't expecting to laugh.
And Adam, as the production manager, what's this like in terms of the production side of things? Is it quite a heavy workload?
The complexity with this production is that because it was originally a film, there are an awful lot of scene changes. So I think in the first half alone, there must be between 15 and 20 scene changes.
So the script writers haven't been particularly sympathetic in terms of setting it up for the stage then?
Difficult to do with a screen to stage adaptation, isn't it? Because you've got, obviously in a film, you can cut scene in a matter of seconds and nobody notices. But on stage, it's not quite so easy to do that. When you've got a lot of quick changes, like Jess, who's playing Viola, that poor girl's going to be running around backstage all the time, changing costume, getting from one side to the other, playing different characters, because obviously she's just going from her Viola costume into her Thomas Kent costume. So it's going to be nice and manic backstage, but that's part of why we love it, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, so it's only sort of madcap in terms of the speed of changes of the limitation of working in a Regency theatre. You can't fly anything in. You can have a revolve, and it's complicated in that respect. In terms of costuming and props, means it's a Tudor era play, so that's not too bad. There's quite a lot of music in the show, and so balancing that with people either speaking or singing, working out how to mix the media of music, people speaking, people singing, and the way those are designed to work in the scenes, it is more challenging than a regular play or even a regular musical.
And obviously Shakespeare in Love itself, the story at times mirrors Twelfth Night. If you didn't perhaps get the approval to do Shakespeare in Love, would a Twelfth Night have done as a compromise?
I think it's quite a different thing. I think there's something very different about doing something about Shakespeare rather than necessarily by Shakespeare. And I think it's a love letter to theatre, and in particular, obviously, Shakespearean theatre, which I don't think you'd necessarily get with Twelfth Night.
And just in terms of your own involvement in the company, how long have you been with BSods?
So I've been involved with BSods on and off for 7 or 8 years. I've been involved in theatre in Bury St Edmunds for about 13 years. And I've been a member of the management committee for 2 years.
And I've been a member of BSOS since 2019. I've done a few productions with them as a member of the cast. And I was also on the committee for a couple of years as well. But I've done theatre since I was, I think, about 7 years old.
Yeah, I was going to ask some questions about your own history in the theatre and kind of what I'm always fascinated by, what sparks people's interest and how they got involved in the first place.
I think for me, my very first role was as a mouse, Cinderella, when I was 4. Now, you can't see this, but I'm 6'7" and 22 stone, so playing a mouse is quite a humorous start in life. And I have done, I would say, at least 4 shows a year, every year, for the last 30 years. I've just had a baby 4 months ago. Well, not personally, but and even that hasn't really necessarily slowed things down. So for me, it's just the love of taking on so many different roles, and you know, the social element of it in particular is a great draw. Yeah, that's me.
I was just a very, very shy kid, and my parents were both teachers, and one of my mum's really closest friends was a drama teacher. She had her own like Saturday drama school, and she was like, "Oh, we'll send her to that, build her confidence up." And I think she's regretted it ever since, because I found my happy place. I just wanted to be on stage all the time. This idea that you could just play characters and, you know, explore other people and all of that kind of stuff. Like, I just find it really, really fascinating. So I did a lot of plays and quite a few musicals and a bit of improv comedy for a few years. So I've done a lot of it.
And do you have a particular highlight or favourite role or production that you've been in?
I did a run of Alan Bennett's Talking Heads. I played Susan in Bed Among the Lentils, and I loved that. It's one of those roles where if someone said to me, "Would you do it again?" I'd say yes in a heartbeat. So that's probably my favourite. But I did Legally Blonde last year, and I was Paulette, and I loved that. So those are probably my two, if I really had to pick.
Again, a bit like Sarah, it's hard to choose. Probably, I played Judd Fry in a production of Oklahoma, which I really, really loved. And over a very small part, probably the part I played where I learnt my part the quickest was Captain Bryce in Arcadia, which is a Thomas Stoppard play, if you're not familiar with it. And I reckon I learnt my part in 20 minutes, basically because Captain Bryce is just me, but in sort of 1812. It's a masterpiece of a play, and I would do it again tomorrow. If someone said, "Can you come and do that?" I would be there in the afternoon to do it.
And what's next for BSods after Shakespeare? I mean, probably you're fully immersed in Shakespeare in Love, no doubt, but companies like yours have always got half an eye on what's next.
Yeah, so we've got a fundraising concert in the Theatre Royal in June 16th, which is a sort of a musical theatre showcase. And then in October of this year, we are doing Oliver, and our next show after that is Made in Dagenham in the April slot of 2024.
Oh, fantastic. Absolutely love Made in Dagenham. I did that a few years back, and yeah, that would probably be one of my highlights. So yeah.
Same. I did that back in 2018, and it's just such a fun show to be part of. I'd love to do it again.
Like lots of theatre societies, we have a lot more women than men, and we wanted to choose a show that, you know, reflected our membership and also is a great production. It's why we chose Made in Dagenham.
This is probably just looking even further into the future, perhaps. Is there a bucket list role or roles you'd like to fulfill at some point?
So for me, I've always wanted to play Mark Antony, and I think everyone dreams of being in Les Mis. Sarah has actually done some Les Mis, but yes, probably Javert in Les Mis, a proper adult production would be great.
I have always wanted to play Beatrice in Much Ado About Nothing. That's probably my bucket list one. I don't think I have one for musicals. I think there's loads of musicals that I'd love to be part of that I'll never get a chance to be part of, like Spring Awakening, Catch Me If You Can, Hadestown, all of that. Like, I just can't see that I will ever get a chance to be part of them. But there's no particular role where I'm like, that's mine.
Yeah, I mean, some of these, of course, it's about rights as well. So, you know, unless you're doing it professionally, the chances are, like Hadestown, for instance, well, we're probably looking many years into the future before the likes of us get to perform that, if at all. And just finally, when is Shakespeare in Love on and where can we get tickets?
It's on from the 25th to the 29th of April. We've got a captioned performance on the Wednesday evening. We've got a post-show Q&A on the Thursday evening and a matinee on the Saturday. So there's lots of things going on in the week aside from just the show. And you can get tickets from the Bury Theatre Royal website.
Fantastic. Well, I think that nicely wraps things up. Thanks very much for your time, guys.
Thank you.
I think Adam's saying bye. He looks like he's saying bye. Oh, there you go. He's waving. That works. All right, cheers. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So there we have it. That was Sarah and Adam from BSODS. As they mentioned, Shakespeare in Love is on from the 25th to the 29th of April at the Theatre Royal Bury St Edmunds, and tickets are available via theatreroyal.org. Now, what else is coming up in the region in the next few weeks? Well, let's start on home turf for me, and in Norwich, the East Norfolk Operatic Society is presenting the Gilbert and Sullivan classic, Iolanthe, between the 3rd and 7th of May. It's a satirical comedy opera all about the fairy, Iolanthe, who marries a mortal, which is forbidden under fairy lore, of course, you knew that. You can catch their production at the much-talked-about Madam Market in Norwich, with tickets available via madammarket.co.uk. Also in Norwich, and the Intellectual Hooligans are playing a free show of their improv comedy at Café Marzano at the Forum on the 29th of April. Now, this is one that you don't need to book tickets for, so you can just turn up at Café Marzano. And I think the start time is 6 p.m, I believe. I'll let you know on my social media accounts about that one. Still in Norfolk, and the New Tavern Players, no idea what they did with the old ones. And the New Tavern Players will be presenting Legally Blonde, the musical, between the 15th and 20th of May. Now, the reason I mentioned this one perhaps a little earlier than others is that tickets are selling fast. And in fact, I believe they've sold out a couple of performances already. So, yeah, get your tickets quick on this one from newtavernplayers.co.uk. And that, believe it or not, is all I have to mention this time. Now, I'm conscious that there is a heavy bias towards Norfolk and Suffolk, and that is something I'd like to change. So if anyone can recommend any contacts in the Cambridgeshire area, or if there's any groups I should be signed up to in order to help my research for this section, please do let me know. I'm committed to the name East Anglian Theatre Podcast, and the Norfolk and Suffolk Theatre Podcast doesn't really offer a great acronym anyway. So yeah, if you can give me a helping hand, please do. Anyway, as usual, I'll post links for the shows mentioned on my social media accounts in the coming days and weeks. Thanks so much for listening to me and the BSODS guys drone on, and tune in next time for more chat, more rubbish questions, and unfortunately, more me. In the meantime, take care of yourselves and go watch some theatre. Bye!